Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
Today we celebrate Palm Sunday. David read a passage of scripture that I'm going to allude to. And I want to share with you that that is very good. The PowerPoint is not going to follow everything because I altered it and Kyle is aware of it, but that's okay. Jesus comes into Jerusalem. All four Gospels record the triumphal entry. I want you, it's not going to be on the overhead, but I'm going to ask you, if you would, to either get your phone or your Bible and turn in that to John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. Verses 12 through 19. It is the story of the triumphal entry as recorded by John. There is an important note here that I would like to make. John is not, well, John does events. He records events. He doesn't record first this, then this, then this, then this. He records the events. And so his Johannine lid, as we call it, comes from a different perspective. But John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19, we're going to be looking at now, and then we're going to tear some of that apart and then jump into our message. Verse 12, the next day, the crowd that had come to the feast heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? They came to the feast, but then they heard Jesus was coming. So they took branches of palm trees, went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. We're going to come back to that because that is extremely important. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, even as David quoted. See how well it fits together? Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey colt. That's what he did. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him, here is incredibly insidious indictment. Now let's read it. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they'd heard that he'd done this. They didn't come to him for who he was. They came to see the guy that raised the man from the dead. Did we get that? They didn't come to see Jesus for who he was and is. They came to see the man who for what he did. So the Pharisees said one to another, you see, we are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. Before we get into the message of the hour, I want to dissect some of that in verse 12 and 13. There were actions. They spoke about him. Hosanna. The word in the Hebrew, I'm sorry, in the Greek is Hosanna. We say H-O-S-A-N-N-A, but in the Greek it's O-S-A-N-A. Save us, we pray. You're the only one who can do this, but they were looking for an earthly resolution to an earthly kingdom. Save us, we pray. Blessed. The word blessed there is a Greek word I cannot pronounce, but it is to be spoken well of. We are speaking well of you. We give you praise. We give glory to you. We give acknowledgement to you. Throughout the written scripture, there is the word blessed given to so many times. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord is not the first time that it is written. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my name's sake, you are to be valued. You are to be spoken well of because it's happening for my name's sake. Go to Psalms 1. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And then it goes into why that happens. Basically, from Genesis to Revelation, blessed is used. Blessed is used to be spoken well of, to give praise to. Now we're going to get into it. In the name of. The Greek word there is onomante. with all authority of as representing someone else. I.e., here's the important thing. They did not acknowledge Jesus had his own authority. He was just given some to get something done. Can we understand? I can't. I'm sorry, I can't. Can we understand why someone who has the authority and the power and the ability to raise somebody from the dead named Lazarus did not have his own authority and his own power? And that same Jesus has the authority and the power and the ability to work in, with, and for, and through our lives, to transform our lives, whether it's physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, etc. You represent someone else, but it's not your own. That's who they were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes into the name. Now it says, of the Lord. The Greek word there is extremely powerful as well. Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-U-S. Of and about as a Lord and Master, but it's small L, small M. In other words, a monarch, an earthly king. But not Jehovah. Do we recognize Jesus not just in our head, but in our entire spirit and soul, that he is not only the Son of God, he stands on his own alone with all power, all purity, all purpose, and all holiness? Are we guilty like they were? What does that mean in its foundational definition? What does it mean to a mere image existence of being a disciple? In our living, in our purpose, in our thoughts. The Apostle Paul gives us some help. The Apostle Paul gives us some help. I know that it is Palm Sunday, but the Apostle Paul gives us some help, and it ties in. He was the man who was once called Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, passionate for the law, unyielding in enforcement and demand of compliance to the law of God. He was known of his own position among the Sanhedrin and government of the Jewish church. Yet, by his own repeated statements, he was not who he should be. And in terms of reality of eternity, he was nothing. He was connected, but he was not converted. He was knowledgeable about Messiah, but he not knowing the Messiah. He was purposed in the letter of the law, but not possessing the message and the fulfillment of the law. There are some questions that need to be asked and answered. As those who claim discipleship, just who do we think we are? Who do we embrace that we are being? Are we back to what they said in the name of, in authority of someone else? The earthly kingdom, the Lord, or Yahweh? How do we see Jesus? Because that will really truly define our discipleship. How are we living our discipleship? Because that will define what we and how we view Jesus. Two sides, same coin. This brings us to our question of the hour, which is our theme for the hour. The theme of the hour. Kyle, the theme of the hour, please. Who am I as a believer in Christ? Just who am I? What is it that's the measure of being a disciple? This does not ask us who we associate with. It does not ask us what we do. It does not ask us where we interact. It does not ask us who we are related to. What it asks is very simply and very foundationally, what and who is our identity as a disciple of Jesus? Our text comes out of 1 Corinthians, the writing of Paul, and we're going to refer back to John 12. But it says this, I am the least of the apostles, verse 9, I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, verse 10, and here it is. Here's his identity. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was not made to me in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, but not I, but the grace of God that is in me, verse 11, whether then it was me or they, who? They, the ones that I worked harder than them, but they are still working. Whether it was me or they, we preach and you believe. Do we see it and can we grasp it, folks? Can we comprehend it? Paul was no longer identified by who and what he was. He wasn't even identified in his own mind as an apostle. That's a powerful statement. And thus is not being what he does or who he is connected with. That's not his identity. His identity is Jesus through grace, and only in his identity of Jesus through grace is he an apostle. Are you getting it? We are a disciple, but only because we have an identity, if we are really having that identity. We are a disciple of Jesus because we have the identity of Jesus, because we are in Jesus and he is in us. Who do we think we are? Spiritually, we're pretty big stuff. I mean that very carefully. In this world of psychosis and all that other stuff, still, we are pretty big stuff. The secular world wants you to know, well, you don't know who I am. Well, let me tell you something. You don't know who I am. I'm the blood-bought, blood-washed child of the living God. I shared on one of my Facebook pages, someone confronted me and said, oh, all of this stuff about Christianity is relative. And I said, you're right. I'm a relative of the child. I'm a child of the living God, and I'm his relative. Say what you will, but that makes me the relative of the child of the living God. Are we getting it? Do we understand it? Do we see it? Can we comprehend it? Paul even felt himself as being the least of the apostles, even despite the one who had the greatest impact on the known world for Jesus. Yes, there were those in Jerusalem who had great impact. Yes, there were those who went to India and Persia and Asia and were crucified and martyred for their life in Christ. But Paul had the greatest impact on the church world then of any other apostle, despite who he had been. Our sermon in a sentence is this, ladies and gentlemen. Our sermon in a sentence is this. Who we are is defined by whose we are and whose we have become. Who we are is defined by whose we are and whose we have become. Point one, as a disciple of Jesus, I am defined by grace from our text. But the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It is God defining me, God defining you through the grace of God. I am a disciple of Jesus first if I am a believer. That is my identity. Everything else, as important as some of that is, comes secondary to being a disciple of Jesus, because in my discipleship, I live out other things. Point A, grace. Grace. As a disciple of Jesus, I am defined by grace, the favor of God, even despite me. Despite who I have been, still grace. Despite what I have done, still grace. Despite where I may have gone or may have frequented at one time, still grace. Despite what I once was, still grace. Despite what I have endured, still grace. You may have been something and you are no longer, and you feel have some remorse about that. That should not define you. If you are a disciple of Jesus, let him transform who you know to be who you are. You may have endured some awfully tough stuff. I have, others have. But if you have been victimized, you are victimized. You are not a victim by grace. You were victimized by someone or something else, but you are still a disciple of Jesus. Not someone soiled. Not someone dirty. Not someone who went through some tough stuff. That's what happened, but that's not your identity. Are you getting it? Am I communicating? As a disciple of Jesus, your identity is Jesus. As a disciple of Jesus, that's what you are to be known about and by. Yes, you sometimes have to acknowledge, yes, I went through that and that happened, but my identity is no longer I, but Christ in me. I am loved. Let's do this. Get your palm branches up. I'm just going to have you utilize them. I'm glad. I want you waving this and I want you repeating all of this. I am loved. Come on, wave it and say it. I am valuable. I am eternal. I am died for. I am redeemed. I am chosen. I am a child of the living God. Me, even me, despite me, I am a child of the living God. Thank you. Point B is this. As a disciple, I am defined by grace, i.e. the transformation by God of me. His power, through Jesus' power, not the onomante of someone else's power, the power of Jesus, by King Jesus, the eternal Jesus, not the Kyrio, but the Yahweh Jesus. His grace was given to me to change me. Transformation. His grace is in me to use me. Transformation. His grace defines me to transform me. Transformation. His grace identifies me to rename me. Transformation. I belong to Jesus. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm a child of the living God. Oh yes, oh yes. I'm a child of the living God. His royal blood now flows through my veins. I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the living God. That's my identity as a disciple of Jesus. You think you're pretty big stuff? I hope so. Within the grace of God. Because you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of the living God. Point C is this, grace. As a disciple of Jesus, I am defined by grace, the unfailing gift of God to me. His grace was not in vain for me. His grace was not made to me in vain. From verse 10. Are we getting it? He didn't just throw it out there and that was it. Kind of like the worm we used to fish for and it drowned. His grace was not made to you in vain, ladies and gentlemen. His grace was not put out there because whatever. His grace was put there, given there, bestowed there, extended there, so that he would make you and me a child of his love, a child of his care, his own child as a gift to us. Not vain in my life, not vain to my life, not vain for my life, not vain from my life. You see, I just really truly believe that 2024 can be an explosive year for us. As I will share some of it in 2 weeks, an incredible year. Can we really have much more? We've been filling out the annual report, and I think, did we really get all that done? Yeah. But there's more in store than we could ever dream for 2024 that will blow the socks off of this community, and we can become the unkept secret in this entire area because of Jesus. Do you want it? Will you dream it? Will you choose to pursue it? The things that there's no way we in our own humanness can achieve, but God can. If this miracle we are going to celebrate does anything, it shares with us God can do the impossible. And he does the impossible. And he can continue to do the impossible. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there are people out there in your community you live in the neighborhood you know, that do not know Jesus. And their lives are a wreck, whether you realize it or not. But when they are transformed by the renewing of their mind, they are presented by grace and their lives are transformed. I was at all the Church of the Nazarene again. Can we go back and adjust the annual report and call it Aldi Church of the Nazarene? We can't? Oh, okay. It's not organized. That's okay. Debbie, don't take notes today. We can't do that. It's not organized. And I'm just sharing with people, and this guy's cussing the wallpaper off the wall. Now, I've been around people that cuss, but this guy put almost even nurses to shame and jarheads to shame. Does that give you an idea? He said, oh, well, how the are you? And I said, man, I am blessed. God is so good to me. He's been better to me than I ever deserved. And his face just went. We got to talking. And he quit his cussing. And I shared Jesus. You see, there are people out there that the superficial way they come across is a barrier so they don't have to be seen for what's really going on in here. They are hurting. They are going through incredible stuff. And they don't think anyone cares, and if they tried to share it, they would get pushed away. But I've got good news to bring. The love of Jesus transforms. The grace of Jesus transforms. The purpose of Jesus is to transform. And we can be the church that is the unkept secret of grace, of love, of message. Jesus loves you, this I know, because my Bible tells me so. Everyone to him can belong. We may be weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. We got some deaf people, signing people. That's great. Starting next week, you can both be up here and do all that. No. I haven't asked you yet. God's grace, His holiness, His holy kindness, with all favor and transformation, who we are is defined by whose we are and whose we have become. Point one was this: as disciples of Jesus, I am defined by the grace of God in me. Point two, as a disciple of Jesus, I am defined by the call of God in me. Verse 10 says this: I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me, the call of God in me. God has a call for each and every one of you here today, whether it's by internet or what will be by Facebook and all of the pages and areas where I post, or and all that you will hopefully upload and post, or if you're here. Do we get it? He has a call for each and every one of us. And that first call is be a disciple that puts Him first. Him first. Point A, the call of God in me, I worked harder than they all, according to the text. My call resulted in me working harder than all of them. What does that mean? My call resulted in me, was to me, as a tent maker layman. Let's just stop a minute. He was in essence, in transferring it to the Wesleyan Church and the, I think, Free Methodist Church and others, a general superintendent in the Jerusalem Church. And he was canned. And he became a layman from being the equivalent of a general superintendent. And he knew how to make tents. And yet he used it to open doors because the call of God was in here, not from here. And the call of God was in him so much that he could not forsake it. He could not be transformed from it. It totally consumed him. My call resulted in me being cast out of the Sanhedrin, more lost than anyone else. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was left for dead. He had riots because of him. He was arrested. He was imprisoned. He traveled more than anyone else. He did not have any family to support him, and eventually he lost his head. I would say that's pretty drastic stuff he endured. And yet the call of God made him work harder than all of those, because my call resulted in me still being faithful. The job doesn't go well. Are you still faithful to the call of God? When the medical diagnosis is not good, are you still going to be faithful to the call of God as a disciple of Jesus? Point B, the call of God in me. I became and now am a message of God through me. From verse 10, it is not I but the grace of God that is with me. I'm a living message of the gospel for all to see. You cannot deny what I once was, but you cannot deny who I now am. I'm a living message of the gospel for all to hear. You cannot be transformed, or you also can be transformed. The fact that God did it to me with all that I had done, I hauled people to jail. I went in and busted their door down, and we did not fix their house, and there was no homeowner's insurance at the time, by the way, folks. We separated families permanently. We killed people. I stood, and while they were stoning Stephen, I let them put their coat at my feet, and I was consenting unto the death of Stephen. You can be transformed also, because now I am not. Barnabas went to the church after Saul was converted, who before he became Paul, and said, the same man that once was a persecutor was now preaching Jesus, and people are coming to Jesus. He has been transformed. Have you? Have I? Do people, others know our first priority, our true identity is Jesus? I'm made new. I'm a living message. Even me, because the call of God in me. Martin Luther was brought before the then Catholic Church, and he was told to shut his mouth or face imprisonment and death. He was threatened and threatened and threatened and threatened. He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was hated. And he stood there in front of all of those who were around, and he said, I can do no other. Here I stand. Dr. Paul Cunningham, former pastor of College Church of the Nazarene, became a general superintendent. He was speaking to students and laymen, not pastors, laymen. That's incredible and important. And he was asked by one of the students, or at least somebody in the audience, what does it really mean, all this stuff that you keep preaching about transformation and holiness and on and on? And Dr. Cunningham was gracious. He let him finish the question. And Paul Cunningham leaned up, spoke into the mic, and he said this: when the purity and the call of God come to you, the purity and the call of God consumes you. You will be transformed to a new you that God will now use you. Wow. One of the individuals that was in that time, I was there but not me, was in pre-med. He heard that. Two days later, he was having straight A's. Junior, on his way, about getting pretty well close to going into med school. He went and changed his major to secondary education. Because he felt like God was blessing him with the brains, but calling him, as he put it, to the brawn of the troubled kids. It consumed him. Wow. Point C is this: the call of God in me, I can do no other. I am what I am. The call of God is personified. I am now a new child of the living God. I am now a new purpose for the living God. I am new, a new grace example because of the living God. Not someone else's authority, because of his authority. Only his authority. He doesn't represent only someone else. Not Anamati, but his authority. Not Kerkarios, but Jehovah, Yahweh, did it. No earthly monarch can do that. Only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as a disciple of Jesus, that's who our identity is in. Who we are is defined by whose we are and whose we have become. Point one was that as a disciple of Jesus, I am defined by the grace of God in me. Point two was, as a disciple of Jesus, I am defined by the call of God in me. And point three is this, and it's very important. As a disciple of Jesus, I am defined by the legacy of God lived by me. Look in verse 11, if you would. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. He not only had the transformation, he not only had Jesus, he not only had the call, he lived the call of God in the legacy of his life. Am I defined by the legacy of being the call of God on my life? That's point A. Point A. Am I defined by the legacy of being the call of God on my life? So we preach. So we tell. I am being the call God gave me. It consumes me. I can do no other. Here I stand. I am being the call of God that he chose for me. Not just something to put on me and in me, but his gift to me, for me, that through me he will be glorified. Gift. G-I-F-T, beautiful four-letter word. I am being the call that God has made, M-A-D-E, another beautiful four-letter word in this sense, made me to be. Available. Lord, I'm available to do whatever you would have me do. Available. Lord, I'm available to speak as you would speak, to be what you would be, to do whatever you would have me do. Point B. Point B. I'm defined by the legacy of continuing in the call of God on my life, i.e., yes, Lord, yes, to your will, your way, only you. I am continuing in the call of God of life. When I said yes to God through Christ, that is my legacy to live, L-I-V-E. I am continuing the call of God on my life. When I said yes to God through Christ, it was the legacy for me to leave behind, not leave away from. The life we live, is it a legacy worth living or a legacy worth losing? And if it's a legacy we need to lose, maybe we need to come to a legacy we can live. I am continuing the call of God on my life. When I said yes to God, it was total surrender. Wherever, not what I wanted to do, but then he, in my surrender, says and makes and transforms me to want to pursue after him. Whatever, however, God chooses to lead me. Well, you can use somebody else. God chose you. Someone else can do that. God equipped you. But I don't like it. Do you love Jesus? Whatever, whenever, wherever, however, God uses and wants to use is the call of God that should consume, that comes and consumes. I can do no other. Are we seeing his call from him being authority of onomati of someone else or his own? Are we seeing him being the Lord of Kyrios or Yahweh Jehovah? My identity is a disciple of Jesus and is lived out by his call on his child for his glory. Who are we as a church, as a person, as people? Whose are we? Whose have we become? I hope and pray that in these next 2 weeks after today, it starts today even more than ever before. Hopefully it has started already, but it starts today even more. And it takes such root that we can do no other. That we realize God wants to do in us, with us, and through us ways and things we have never even dreamed of. Are you truly known by God through Jesus to be his disciple? I am ordained, Kyle. I am ordained to speak the name of Jesus. I am ordained to tell the story of the cross. I am ordained to tell the blessed message. I am ordained to tell how much it cost. I am ordained. I'm ordained by the Spirit that sets the captive free. I'm ordained for the message to tell those just like me. I'm ordained for the call of God to tell of Calvary. I'm ordained through the blood that makes sinners clean. Verse 2, I am ordained as a vessel to bring God's grace to all. I am ordained by the Savior to be faithful to his call. I am ordained to be holy, to bring glory to his name. I am ordained for God's glory through lies that are reclaimed. I am ordained to speak the name of Jesus. I am ordained to tell the story of the cross. I am ordained to tell the blessed message. I am ordained to tell how much it cost. I am ordained. Jesus, you ordained us. We did not choose you, but you, in your grace, in your will, in your provision, said, whosoever will may come. You were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we came because of your Holy Spirit convicting us. You forgave us. You transform us. And now we are disciples of Jesus. And Father, I pray this week, we would own our identity. We would embrace our identity. We would ardently refuse to rescind our identity or deny our identity or accept anything less than our identity as a disciple of Jesus, the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh. Not just liken a monarch or an earthly king, not a Kyrios, but Jehovah Yahweh. Because one day we will be held accountable of how much have we lived the call we've been given. So Lord, as we go from here, next week is Easter. May we bring people in that will hear and celebrate Easter so that they would hear and know Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you are...
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.